Dear fellow redeemed, there's something about a rags-to-riches story that always seems to grab our attention. Think of a story like The Prince and the Pauper, for example. Any difference could be given for the difference between two people in a story where they switch places, but for some reason, that change from poor to rich really seems to fascinate us, to draw us in. Something about that change from less to more, it fascinates us. It's that hope that keeps the lottery in business, that hope for change that will drive people to do things they wouldn't normally do, traveling across the world, taking risks, even doing illegal things just to try and get ahead. There's something about more and wanting more that drives us. Today, Jesus teaches us about the dangers of more through his own story. Through a parable and a warning, Jesus shows us just how dangerous greed can be for our lives of faith. In the area surrounding the text that we look at today in Luke, Jesus has been traveling and preaching to crowds that have been following him around. He's been telling these crowds about the dangers of sin, telling them about the kingdom of God, encouraging their faith. He's taught them how to pray and encouraged them to trust in God above all things. Falling kind of oddly in the middle of all of these examples is this man and his request of Jesus. It seems almost a little bit odd and out of place. This man comes to Jesus and says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It's puzzling. It seems like it shouldn't be here. But this man's request, as out of place as it seems, reminds us something about our own sinful nature as well. We are quickly distracted by the pursuits of things. Jesus uses this opportunity to teach too, though. He tells us a parable, a story, to show us the dangers of greed. This parable is often called the parable of the rich fool. But at first glance, the man in this story doesn't seem all that foolish. He's making the most of what he's been given. He's taking advantage of the fact that he's had a wonderful harvest. He's building barns. He's planning for the future. This guy honestly seems like a real go-getter. But the problem with the man in this parable is not specifically in what he is doing, but rather how he is doing it. When we look at this man and his words and his actions, we can see what's going on below the surface. We can see what's motivating this man. It's sinful greed. Greed is an attitude of the heart, a sin inside of us. And because of that, it can be difficult for us to point to or call out and say, that's greed. Simply put, greed is wanting more than what God has intended for us to have. But this still leaves some questions in our minds. God doesn't necessarily tell us a specific amount that we should or should not have when it comes to things. So how do we know when we've crossed the line and entered into a sin like greed? This sin of the heart involves two things: me and more. Greed is present when our focus is shifted inward. And this can happen in a few ways. First, greed is present when our focus is shifted inward and not toward God. Greed ignores God as the giver of gifts, the sustainer of all good things. It focuses on me as the source of getting and being prosperous. We can see this in the attitude and actions, in the words of the rich man, in the parable that Jesus gives us today. Notice how this man refers to the things that he has. Notice how he talks about his plans as well. The man says, "What shall I do? My surplus grain is how he refers to what he has. In a similar way, our obsessive focus on getting ahead or trying to make a living and the lack of focus on our God can point to an issue of greed in our hearts. How quick are we to forget about God's hand in all that we have? Greed can also be present, though, when we forget about others, when we think about our gifts. When we go about getting more and more and getting blessing upon blessing that we think we need to force into our own hands without thinking about how doing that might harm someone else or how those blessings might help someone else in need, we've again looked towards ourselves and fallen into greed. The world might call these tactics cutthroat or even necessary, but God has another name for it. He calls it foolish. Our greedy actions are foolish as they lose sight on the most important thing, our God. With hearts focused inward, our minds can begin to tell ourselves that we have everything to gain. And to be honest, with a mind motivated by greed, we can see a lot of success. When we're thinking about our own wants and our own needs, we're bound to get what we want and to see some success from that. But where does this focus on self end? As we focus on self more and more, we can become consumed by this sinful self-focus. No matter how much or how little we gain through greed, greed ends in the same way for everyone. Jesus points this out in his parable through the words that God speaks to the rich fool. God says to the man, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" That focus on me, that seems so wise, God shows it to be foolish. Planning, scheming, pushing for more and more, it all falls apart when we see the ending. Everything we have becomes someone else's, and everything that we are is laid bare before the throne of our God. Where should our focus be then? As we hear Jesus' encouragement to be rich toward God, our hearts immediately cry out, "But how, Lord? How?" But being rich toward God doesn't involve our own efforts or our own strength. No, being rich towards God involves a focus on what another has done, a focus on what Christ has done for us. Christ, who had more than the richest of us, yet became poor like us sinners. Christ, who left the riches of glory for our sake. Never living for me or for more, Christ conquered greed by his death. And greed wasn't just some outside or obscure thing for Jesus. No, he even faced this temptation head on. Think of Jesus in the desert, tempted by Satan. Think of Jesus in the garden, the night before he died, praying, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." Tempted in every way as we are, Christ conquered greed by his death. He suffered the punishment that our sinful greed deserved. Christ warns us about greed, not so that we simply become kind people or caring people willing to share our possessions. No, he warns us about greed for a greater reason. He wants us to change our focus. A change of focus from me to Christ. God is serious about greed. Christ calls out greed specifically and even tells us and teaches us about it in a parable. Wrestling with any sin, even one like greed, is a difficult thing for us to do, impossible for us to do on our own. As you wrestle with greed, remember this: to look to Christ. Look to Christ, who says to us, look to me more. Look to me, the source of your forgiveness. Look to me, who conquered sins like greed. Look to me, who offers you hope and salvation. Look to Christ more. Shifting our focus to Christ can help us to turn our eyes away from ourselves and our own sinful self-focus and toward God. Seeing the blessings that God has given us can also help this in our lives as well. Seeing what God has already given us for body and, more importantly, for soul, can help us to turn our eyes towards the blessings we have in our lives and, more importantly, in our faith. Those blessings like forgiveness and peace and hope. But whether we consider ourselves to have a lot of blessings from God when it comes to physical possessions or just a few, greed can still find a way to stick around. Greed is a bit like a chameleon. It likes to hide in plain sight. It likes to pretend it's something else. It maybe even likes to pretend like it's something good. As Jesus lovingly warns us to watch out for greed, we must take his words seriously and recognize that it won't always hit us square between the eyes that our actions are greedy. Where might greed like to hide then? First, greed likes to act like it's something good. Or rather, I should say, we like to act like greed is something good. How might this happen? Well, perhaps we hide our greed behind well-meaning excuses. Things like, well, everyone's doing it, or perhaps I'm just using the gifts that God has given me to the best of my ability. It's not wrong for us to use our blessings in a proper way, but proper use of gifts from God becomes improper when we lose focus on just what we're using, gifts. Second, greed likes to act like it's just a money problem. You hear a word like greed, and oftentimes your first thought is, well, I don't want to think about what my neighbor has or wanting more money than I should really have. But greed is bigger than that. Jesus shows us this in his warning as he says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Maybe you can honestly say to yourself, I'm content with everything that I have. But greed can still find another way to take hold of our hearts. Well, if it's not money, then what might greed go after? Could it be time? Could it be respect? Any aspect of our lives can be something that greed wants to latch onto and look to gaining more than actually looking to God. As we hear the end of Christ's warning, life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. We can almost imagine adding to this list, or time, or respect, or no matter what that thing is, sinful greed pushes us to want more. When you stop and think about it, greed is one of Satan's greatest distractions for us. For the Christian, greed is just an illusion. Hidden behind this distraction is a beautiful truth. We are fully rich toward God now through our faith in Christ Jesus. We have more than we can even begin to ask for from our God. Forgiveness for our acts of greed. Forgiveness for all of our sins. God looks at the work of Christ and says that it is ours. We have more than we can even begin to ask for or imagine. The full richness of the mercy and love of our God. People will do seemingly ridiculous things these days to get views on the internet, on sites like Facebook or YouTube. A recent trend over the last few years is this trend where a person will try and spend as much money as they possibly can in a single day. More recently, they've flipped this trend a little bit around to make it look better. They'll give some random stranger a shopping cart and a certain amount of time in a store. something like Best Buy or Target. It's honestly kind of entertaining to watch the person struggle to fit as many big screen TVs and MacBook Pros into their cart as they possibly can in the amount of time that they have. I think of this kind of scenario when I picture the riches of God's love and mercy that we have in Christ now. But God doesn't give us a shopping cart that quickly fills up or a certain amount of time. No, He gives us the full measure of the richness of His love in Christ Jesus. He gives me more than I can imagine. The mercy and love of Christ is all ours through faith in Jesus. Christ's loving warning to us to watch out for greed can seem like an overwhelming task. Our hearts are so quick to turn inward in greed and self-absorption. Let me give you this encouragement today as you consider your fight with greed and all sins that might enter your heart. Be in the Word of God. Be in the Word. As you read the Word and see who God is and what He has to say to you, focus on what He has to say about who you are in Him, and what you have, the riches of forgiveness, mercy, and love. With a heart filled with the love of our God, there is no room for anything else. Lord Jesus, remove greed from our hearts and fill them with the truth of Your Word. Amen.